hardworking Christians. That's what we're about, right? Yesterday down at the park, we had 11 volunteers that we hired. Yeah. No, we were supporting InterVarsity, and they were down at our park, and they were moving sod off around some poles that was like, 10 years of overgrowth, and then there was a whole fence. And anyway, they're out there with picks and shovels and wheelbarrows and chopping up. If you get a chance to go down and see what's going on, we're slowly bringing that park to life, making it a nice place. We went out Friday and we played with the boys, played soccer down there. It was a lot of fun. We had a great time with the little guys, good close games and everything, but we work hard, right? We had a food program yesterday. We bagged up, 70 bags of food. And actually, it was one of the first times that I had to get in the bagging line. I found out it could actually be work, That was good. And then some other friends were out. If you notice the flowers out there this morning, there's, Jim and Sue Flatley from Ward. They came by and they planted all those flowers for us. And hard-working Christians. None of that has anything to do. All that stuff I said had nothing to do with what we're talking about today. It's not about shovels and picks and planting stuff. It's about our lives. It's about our lives. There was a fellow, around World War II, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He wrote a book of The Cost of Being a Disciple. And one of the things that he coined, a word that he coined or a phrase, was easy believism. And there's a lot of that in Christianity where someone says, well, I believe in Jesus and that's enough. And I, can live kind of a careless life or a thoughtless life as long as I believe in Jesus. That is not the hardworking Christian life that we're talking about. And it's not the hardworking Christian life that Scripture talks about. We've been working through the book of Philippians, and Paul has set up some very, hard standards for us to pray in our lives, to get, Christ in us and through us and using us, and a dedication that says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. In other words, we're talking deep, hard Christianity. This is, this isn't the soft, easy baby stuff. This is real, and it is what it takes. It really is, I think, what it takes to be in the kingdom of heaven. It really, it doesn't. You can be an easy believer, a lazy believer, right, and go to church. That's not that, And what you get church membership and all the benefits of church membership. Not much. Other than say, well, I go to such and such church. That's all that is. It's, what we're talking about is using everything that God has given us to gain an entrance into the eternal kingdom of God, that glorious, most beautiful, perfect place that God established in His heart and mind before He said, let there be light for this planet, right? And children of God, not servants, not slaves, but children of God, heirs of Jesus Christ. It's a marvelous work that God is about. And it is not about just sitting back and sliding through. It really does. And that's what, I'll let the text speak to us a little bit here. So we're in chapter 12. We're in chapter 12 of Philippians. That's right. Yeah. There's only four folks in Philippians. We're in chapter 2, verse 12. Okay. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe, as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. The first thing that he talks to us about in that text is obedience. What does he talk to us about, you know, prior to that? Well, he prayed. He says, listen, I want you to be filled with the love of God. I want you to have that supernatural, not human love, not selfish love, but God love. Love that looks out for others. Love that cares about, you know, kids, cares about the spouses, cares about neighborhoods, cares about others, right? The difference between human love and God's love, human love is this way. It's all about me. That's why, you know, why do we have so many divorces? It's all about me. I'm not happy. And that's why, you know, God's love is a thing about others. It's not about me. It's not always about, but it's about, how am I doing with that person? How's it going over there? You know, what do you need, right? That's how God works. You know, God loved us so much that he gave his son. He didn't need a savior. He didn't need Jesus. We needed him. And God thought about that. He cared about that. So the first thing he says, you know, he prayed about, you know, in chapter 1, he wanted us to have God's love in us. He wanted us to know God. He wanted to know the truth about God. You know, some of us, we work hard at learning and studying and getting the Word of God in our hearts, in our mind. With the wisdom of God, which means now we know how to apply that truth, right? We make godly decisions. He talked to us about the mind of Christ, where we become less so that someone else can do better, right? We become less for the sake of others. So all these things he's talked about up to this point. And then he says to them, now obey. Submit to everything you know. Submit to everything that God has given you. You know, say, okay, I'm going to do the things that I hear about. You know, it's interesting that the word for obedience that's up there, the word for obedience means to hear and then to do. And isn't that so appropriate? Because there's a lot of hearing that goes on in Christianity, but, you know, the doing part's a little harder, isn't it? I mean, you know, we can study, we can know, and then when it comes to actually putting it into practice in our decision-making, in our family planning, in our future planning, and everything that we do, it's a little harder to submit to the things we know. You know, so Paul's asking for hard-working Christians. He's saying, I'm asking you to do the hard thing. I'm asking you to hear what God says, to put it in your heart and mind, and then do it. Live it out. That's the hard part, right? Obeying God. It leads to godly behavior, right? If you do this, you'll have a godly home. You'll have a godly heart, a godly life. You'll make godly decisions, right? It's when we go on our own that we end up, you know, not having those things. It takes work, discipline, study, hearing, obeying, right? It all goes together. And then he says this very hard statement for a lot of what we call Reformed people to hear, you know. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And it literally, there's no way around this. He's saying you need to be at work. This is what Bonhoeffer was talking about, where, you know, Christians just kind of think, well, I said I believe in Jesus, and therefore I'm okay. I made a confession when I was 7 years old, so I'm okay. That's not the gospel. The gospel is God working in us. And then we work with God with all that he's given us. Listen, God has given us so much, right? He's given us the Word of God. And we have the Word of God, you know, so many places and so much many forms than ever in history. We have less excuse than any other generation in history to you know, not live a godly life or not to know what the Word says. I mean, I'm sitting out last night on my back porch. It was a beautiful day. We'd worked hard all morning and afternoon. Some of you worked even later. but I was sitting in my backyard, you know, watching the birds. But I have my phone, right? And I could open up my phone and I could read the Bible. Right there, it's on my phone. I could read it in English and I flip a button and I'm reading it in Greek, you know? And I got translations, I got commentaries, I got all kinds of stuff right there at my fingertips, right? The Word of God is there, and God's given us that Word so that we can know about Him. We can know how He thinks. We can know how He would respond to questions in life's, you know, problems. So we then have the ability to make godly decisions. And we learn, listen, learning the Word of God by itself, not so much. Doesn't mean much. Learning to use it as a calculator, to use it in your decision making, that's so important. In other words, I want it here so that when I have problems, right, I process. How do I process it? Through the Word, okay? We tell you that all the time, right? So with this, he's talking about, you know, make every effort, use everything God has given us, be at work, work it out. And he doesn't say, now when you read this, you hear, okay, Jordan, work out your salvation, right? Is that how you read it? No. Oh, he's a smart guy. Okay. What are you doing here? No, it's okay, yeah. But yeah, it's not singular, it's plural. So that is another thing. What's it saying? It says, you all work out y'all's salvation, right? So what does that mean? That means Jordan can help me get it right. And I can help him a little bit, you know. I can help him get it right, you know. In other words, like one of the things God has given us is brothers and sisters in Christ, people who are trying to do it right, people who are trying to obey God, people that are putting the Word of God in their heart and in their mind. And then when they, you know, they get together and say, hey, I got this issue, and maybe we have to think about it together, or maybe we're not seeing it quite right. And someone needs to say, hey, bro, you know what that looks like right there? That's not Jesus. That looks like something totally different right there. You need to quit that. You need to move off of that. You need to move this way, right? That's what, you know. So I really think that's a very important part of this text, is to understand that, yes, the Word of God, yes, the cross of Jesus Christ, yes, the power of the resurrection, yes, the power of the Holy Spirit, but yes, the church, the people of God that help us to think and work and live for Christ. It's so important. It's so important that we you know, do that work. You all work out your salvation with each other. Okay? And it's because the way it translates is so bad in that sense, because you work out your salvation. Okay, so I'm out of here. I'm going to go by myself. Get with myself, you know. No, that's the exact opposite of what he's saying. Or it's all up to me. No, it's a community thing. It's the church that is in mind. It's the kingdom that's in mind. You know, there's real people who love the Lord right now, who are striving to do what's right in God's eyes right now, and they're sitting around you, and they're fighting just as much as you're fighting, and we need to learn to fight for each other, to be there to help each other, to do it right. You know, when we ignore that, that's a real problem. When we ignore, you know, well, that's just, I mean, I've literally had people, you know, yell at me, they're mad at me, and say, you're just a man, and walk out, you know, as though, you know, the word that we preach and teach is not divine. And, you know, we should be listened to in regard to our office, in regard to the Word of God and such, right? And yeah, so okay. He says to do it with absolutely, you know, with fear and trembling. The word is actually trauma. And literally in Greek, it's you know, the word we get for trauma. You know, be traumatized about the idea of getting into that. I want to make it, you know? And so again, you take the two attitudes. There's one attitude that says, I've already made it. It's all good. Why? Because I go to such and such a church. I did my devotions. Or in other words, you know, I've got a little list I keep, and I'm good. I'm fine. And there's the other side that says, I really need some work. I really need, you know, God, you know, help me to do better. Help me to think better. Help me to process it better. Help me, mighty God, to live a life that is honoring to you. Remember that right before this, he had told them to live a life worthy of Jesus Christ, a life worthy of the gospel. Again, we said when we said that's a high, high standard. A life, you know, does my, you know, if I think about that, that what God has set as a standard, that I should live worthy of what Jesus did for me. Wow, that's a standard. That should give me pause. That, yeah, that should make me think. Am I really there? Have I done it all? Am I complete? And of course, if I'm honest with myself, no. God, help me. Brother, help me. Right? Word of God, help me. Everything that God has given me from the Holy Spirit, the blood of Jesus Christ, the brothers and sisters that are around me, I need all that to help me get better. To help me, make that next step of improvement, that next step of reaching towards the glory. Now, it is not this is the last line that verse 13 is so important, because we're not, again, it is not, I'm doing this all on my own. And if I don't, right? For God, it is God who works in you. I'm not doing this alone. I have a huge partner. Do you know what I mean? I have a mighty partner working in me, a partner that's giving me what I need. He didn't say, he told Adam back in the garden, do it by yourself, son. Didn't work out so well, right? Adam blew it right away. But for us, he is working in us both to work, to make the changes, to change the attitudes, to change the heart, to change the mind, to work and to perform, to do. To work and to perform what in a manner that pleases Him. See, what it is, and again, this is the thing. The thing is that, again, if I set my standard by neighbors, if I set my standard by Oprah, if I set my standard by Dr. Phil, if I set, where's my standard? The standard is to become a child of the living God, to become Jesus's brother, to live a life worthy of the gospel. That standard is so high. Again, thank you, Father, that you are helping me to live, to think, to act in a way that is in your good pleasure. A son that he's well pleased with, right? That's how, don't we all, well done, good and faithful servant, Well done, good and faithful son. Come in. You're going to be an heir of my other son, just like Jesus. You say, wow, that's a high calling, right? So, and Paul gets it. But God is at work in us. He's helping us. He's given us so much, and He continues to give us so much. He's patient with us. He loves us. He cares. You know who wants you to make it as much as you want to make it? Your Father. Your Father wants you to make it. Your Father is calling out to you in love all the time. Your Father, even when He corrects you, He's correcting you in love. He's not correcting you to knock you out or knock you down. He's correcting you to say, come on, you can do better. Come on, you are my child. Come on, step up. Go a little higher. Go a little deeper. Come on now, be my son. Be my child. He's there. He's pulling for us. Now, a lazy Christian won't hear that. A lazy Christian will say, yeah, my God loves me, and good for him. And that's all, in other words, no, we're working with God. We are so grateful for everything He does, for all that He feels for us, for all that He's done for us. We want to please our Father. We want to do what He wants. We want to honor Him, right? So He says, do everything without complaining or arguing. Now, I have not yet met that church. Actually, I have to say, to be honest, maybe God's making that right here. I'm serious, because I have, there is unity. We're small, but we're united, And that's, the bigger you get, the harder it is to keep that together, right? But this thing by nature, did you hear what he said? In other words, disunity, arguing, complaining, backbiting, sniping, tearing things apart, human nature. Right? Slander, heresy, all those, splitting apart, factions, those are, human nature. What's he saying? Divine nature. Be God's children. So when you're do it without complaining, do it without arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault. Now that's, again, the standard. That's what you say. Why did Jesus die? To forgive my sins. No, Jesus died so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault. Why did Jesus die? So that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault. That's why he died. Forgiveness of sins? Yes, absolutely part of it. Without that, we couldn't even begin. Right? Yeah. A power of righteousness in us to do better. A power of the Spirit of God. A power of the wisdom of God to do better. Right? To become children of God, blameless, without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation. Folks, is it hard to see what generation he's talking about these days? The world around us is getting more and more corrupt, more and more crooked. They're calling darkness light and light darkness. They're calling the truth a lie and the lie the truth. It is getting worse and worse and worse. There's actually like all out almost war against the gospel of Jesus Christ, against his church. There's war being waged against the saints. Find out more about that on Wednesday night Bible study. We're going through the book of Revelation. That's what he's saying. But this whole idea of we do live in a crooked and perverse generation. Listen to this, though. Listen. The idea that if I'm in Christ and I am becoming that blameless, pure child of God without fault, folks, I should look different than what's out in the world. I should have different attitudes. I should have different standards as far as, you know, who I hang out with, what I do with my body, what I do with my time, what I do with my resources, right? I should have a whole different standard for what that crooked, depraved generation has out there. If I start to look, listen, if I'm looking like them, whose child am I? Whose child, right? Yeah, see, you either belong to the world or you belong to God. And it's getting clearer and clearer every day. You're going to have to be on one side or the other. You're going to be one or the other. And you try to walk that fence, you're going to be one ugly person. Because, you know, I mean, you can't do it. I mean, it's so bad out there. You can't, you know. And it's going to be more and more evident as time goes on. He says, the children of God, the Christians, those who are hard-working Christians, right? What are we? Hard-working Christians. I want to hear that again. We are hard-working Christian. We will shine like stars in the universe as we hold out the word of life. The difference between those who are having, you know, God at work in them and God changing them and God making us into the children of God and what's going on out there, folks, it is like lighting up a big light in a dark room. People will say, whoa, what's that? That's different. I had a conversation with a friend of mine, and I was talking to him, and, you know, of course, you know, what am I going to talk about? I said, well, you know, God this, God that, God. And he said, you know, you're the only person in my world that talks about God. Nobody ever talks about God, you know? Well, light in a dark world. We, you know, people come up to you, why do you live like this? Why do you do this? Children of light in a world of darkness. Children of God in a world that is depraved, a depraved generation. We shine, we should shine like stars as we work out our salvation with all that God has given us, all that the Father has given us, all that He's done for us. Lord, help us. Help us to get everything that He's given, to get it in our hearts, in our lives, and we will indeed shine like stars, not just speaking words, living them out. Not just saying things, living it out. So people say, oh, that's different. I've never seen that before. Why? Because there's a Savior. There's a Lord who gave His life and blood so that I might have life. There's a Spirit and a power from Almighty God that inhabits His people and gives them wisdom. There's a Word that's above all words and gives us a wisdom that the world can't understand or comprehend. There's a holiness that follows all of that towards the kingdom of heaven. We're engaged with it. The world will see it. They'll ask. They might run away when they're done, but they'll ask. what's going on. Father, I thank you so much for what you're doing in our lives. I know, Lord, that many of my brothers and sisters in this room are indeed working hard, giving their all to take everything that you've given them and to be your people. And Lord, we pray for each other right now in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that by your Spirit and by your grace and by your truth, that you will help us, O Lord, to live a life worthy of the gospel of our Savior, who died for our sins and rose for our righteousness, who sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, who has a name above every name. And we wait for that day when we get to bow before Him and say, He is our Lord and He is our King, and we will live with Him forever as heirs and joint heirs. Oh, Father, let us have these things in our hearts. Let them be in our mind, and let them be in our lives as we work out our salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.